now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, a true geopolitical expert and a man that gets his hands dirty down in the trenches, Patrick Byrne at Patrick Byrne on X, enemywithin.docuseries.com, is with us. We're getting into, he just joined us, we played a clip of Cash Patel on Hannity a few days ago, saying, oh, we got the Russiagate goods, we know the rest of the story, we're finding a lot more of it. You've created a PowerPoint here to break this down for people and why it's so important. We can bitch about Trump going sideways all day long. You gotta remember, Obama, the globalists, the left, their plans allied with China, Cuba, Venezuela, the bigger picture. Patrick Byrne.
Great, Alex, thank you. And this is very, I've simplified it. Your viewers will be able to follow it very nicely. Can we hit the, it's a number of slides, but there's just a bit, they're very simple slides. Can we just hit the first slide? Let me show you.
All right, first slide.
Of that PowerPoint. And we're going to click through them quickly, and you'll see the pattern before everybody. Okay, here's the Russia hoax timeline, the official timeline. Click. Go ahead, next. Okay, the official timeline is July 20th, Trump's become of 2016, Trump is nominated, and then click. Next slide. August 3rd, Peter Strzok has come out and said, we opened Crossfire Hurricane, became aware of Maria Butina, we opened Crossfire Hurricane. And that's how it all started. That's their story. Click, go to the next. The Durham report covers that. And it says that would happen. It says they over politicized this and that. It's very mealy mouth. But that's all it covers. But since Cash came back in, since Trump came back in, the next thing is what you've been hearing about the last couple months, this December 19th intelligence community assessment, where Obama first got the ICA that said Russia was not involved in early December 2016. And then he said, make me another one, cook me another one. And they cooked the four top guys and a typist sat and created a new ICA that said Russia was involved. And based on that, they started the FBI investigation. That's how the whole thing started. So there's the Durham report level of truth, but then there's that new level of truth that Cash has correctly dug out in the last several months. So that's great. But let me tell you, it's still cover up. They still haven't gotten to the main event. Click. Everything before this date has been a black hole to them. And the reason it's a black, and by the CIA, says the prosecutor. Now, click again. The reason that's been a black hole is there's a cover up. This is what really happened. And here's a piece of information. Listen to it closely, Alex. You're going to see the significance of this quickly. In February 2015, Maria Butina came to the United States the first time. She came with the central bank. Don't click ahead of me, please. Just follow me. She came in February 2015 with the central bank of Russia. And this is key. I won't go into too much detail. She went to a luncheon. There was a luncheon that's held every 2 weeks in D.C. with senators and congressmen and staffers. And journalists are invited. They're domestic journalists. Sometimes some foreign journalists from like The Economist show up. Maria, over with the Russian central bank, showed up at that luncheon, asked some questions. She had Russian press credentials, asked some questions. After the luncheon, the organizers of the luncheon got together and said, you know, things are tense with Russia. It made people uncomfortable to have this Russian redhead here. If she comes back in 2 weeks, let's not let her in. And they agreed on that. The next day, the organizer of that conference got a phone call from the FBI saying, we understand what just happened. We've heard you've made the decision not to let this Russian girl Maria back in. We'd prefer you reverse that decision. Let her back in. Don't worry. The FBI's on top of her. We're following her. We're watching everything she does. Go ahead and let her back in. The person from the FBI who made that phone call was Peter Strzok. So if Peter Strzok was calling in February of 2015, doing that to make sure Maria Butina had access and was schmoozing around in these circles in Washington. What does that tell us about the, Alex, what does that tell us about the official Russiagate
that
story?
That it's a lot older than we've been told, and I even knew because Judge Arpaio, even during the election, released DEA access to NSA, showing myself, President Trump, and a bunch of others being spied on, including our own personal private fax lines, you name it. So this was going on a long time. They've been watching Trump a long time.
Right. So it's nice that Trump had Cash got past the Durham report and he found these things that happened in December of 2016, but it ain't the main event. It's going a long time. Now, how did that, why was that going on in February 2015? I have some other inside information from a CIA security whistleblower who got information to me because there was through a lawyer. And this information was, do the next click. John Brennan secretly met with the Russian KGB, which is now called FSB, twice in late 2014, maybe early 2015. He had two.
By the way, I was told 20 years ago or 30 years ago, even back when he was the head of the embassy in Riyadh, that he's been a Russian double agent. Have you ever had that information?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a communist. He voted for Gus Hall in 1976. He became he's a wannabe. He's an analyst at the CIA. He had never had a post. I actually know the guy who got him the post and sent him to Riyadh just so we could check that off. But he secretly had two meetings, which I've now tipped off the government to exactly who to go and verifying it. He had two secret meetings with the Russian FSB in late 2014. Then February 2015, you have Maria at this luncheon and they want to keep her out. And the FBI, Peter Strzok, tells them, no, Maria, go ahead and let Maria in. We'll do this. That suggests to me that Brennan was secretly setting this up, maybe with Russian connivance in late 2014. It was certainly running by early 2015. Then what happens is, click, the next one is I meet her in July of 2015. July of 2015, click. This whole set of things happened between us that are explained in this book, Danger Close. I figure out what I'm in the middle of, that what they are doing is setting up a coup. They also had me bribe Hillary Clinton. I've walked you through that story. So, but after I successfully bribed her, it turned out to be, so they weren't going to prosecute. They let me know they were just going to keep Hillary Clinton on a Bunsen burner that Barack Obama controlled while she was in office. So that's the true timeline. There was a coup that started in 2014 or early 2015 by Barack and Brennan and Comey to take over the next government, whether it was Hillary, whether it was a Republican.
So Cruz, it's basic Rubio, opposition research, and they've got Trump's phones tapped. They know he's looking to run. They're listening to Roger Stone. They know all this because I got the stuff from Arpaio. They were spying on me. I was declared a national security threat in 2013. They had the whole Boston office of the FBI that was declassified last year spying on me, trying to find something. So it was crazy with their predictive programming. They're really smart, actually. Why don't they just bet on freedom? That they were already looking at all the players way before I knew how important I was. They already decided I was important.
Correct. Let me show you one more slide. Go back to that slide. Let me show you the last thing to add is the last thing is, well, the last two things is Trump came. Well, I tried to put a stick in the wheels here. That's the whole rape murder thing. I'm told the secret, the biggest secret in the U.S. government under Biden that they were trying to figure out how to handle is how to handle it when it comes out that Barack Obama, James Comey, and John Brennan, I put them in the position of they had to sign off on. I told them that I had drugged Maria and questioned her. They were okay with that.
By the way, it's on record you brought down the Russian spy and did all that. But people that don't know the history, like, you're on record the guy that did that.
Yeah, and then lastly, Donald Trump is where, this is where he comes down an escalator. The point is, this was all running before Donald Trump ever announced for president. Barack Obama was setting up a coup to take over the United States government from whoever his successor was, whether it be Hillary or Cruz, Rubio, or Trump. And this all was going on before Trump came down the escalator.
Yeah, it's called opposition research. They were doing the field.
Well, this is called soft coup. I would call this a soft coup. When you're setting up, they were setting this all up.
No, obviously it's about a coup, but I'm just saying they were studying all the different players.
Yeah. And they were compromising. They were compromising Hillary. That's the whole point of having me bribe her turned out to be not to prosecute her, but so that they would control her. So this is a soft coup that really started in 2015 from Barack Obama and John Brennan. And it's not a theory. It's not me. I was part of it. I was in the middle of it. So it's not a theory. And that's the true organization.
Well, let me ask you this question now, because everybody's been beat to death with Russiagate. They recycle the same old stuff. This is all new today. But I guarantee, I know the listeners, they're great. But even I'm like, I've already known about this. I've experienced it. So I've never seen anything done. Why do I care? Because you're bringing in all the new information. What should Trump and Cash Patel be doing?
Well, first, we have to understand this is a this is World War III. It's a type of warfare which the United States is not great. And Michael Flynn is like the professor of this type of warfare, of espionage.
Full spectrum.
Full spectrum. And what we really need is to understand this as a Bolshevik revolution or whatever you want to call it. And I would have thought we put together, we have a team in the government who addresses this as a revolution and all aspects from the...
It's a globalist revolution to overthrow the Western capitalism. And it goes through the academia systems everywhere. It's ideological. You have to see it as an ideology to oppose it. You can't like see it as an army. It's an ideology you oppose.
And it includes the election fraud. It includes the Trenda Aragua and the Cartel de Sol. It includes the Hillary bribe, the Russia hoax that was all set up. It's one package. Trump came in and he tried to get a special unit formed to go after it. And he signed the right pieces of paper, and the deep state blocked funding and blocked personnel. And that slowed things down a couple months.
Let me float this, because I remember hearing this at the time for Army Special Operations Command, and I didn't ever talk to Eric Prince about this, but I've talked to him some, but I heard Trump tried to draft Eric Prince to come in early on, but it got killed.
I know that Eric Prince wants to go in. I didn't know whether Trump wanted him or how he got killed. I knew that he wanted to get in. But it's not just it's more of a Mike Flynn thing. It's an espionage thing rather than an Eric Prince thing. It's so many different layers of espionage, and it's a hall of mirrors. But the key point is this is got to be understood comprehensively as a coup that began. I was pulled into it in Thanksgiving 2015, unwittingly. It was running since early 2015 at least. And it has to be addressed as this comprehensive package. I know, and that's why. And so I've done some defense of Trump. I'll give you some criticism of Trump. Yeah, he did the right. He signed the right things when he came in to get this going, but he didn't. He let the deep state defeat him for months.
Well, we just saw 2 weeks ago, OMG Media has two top officials saying Trump's the enemy. We ignore him. He says do something. We do the opposite. So all these people, when I criticize Trump because people in his administration aren't doing what he said, they think I'm criticizing him. No, a bunch of these people, it was worse before. They do whatever they want.
Yes. Yes. But it's also his fault in the sense of the people he appointed. He didn't get prosecutors. Trump has trust issues.
Let me ask you this. What is Todd Blanche? Who is Todd Blanche? What is his MO?
Todd Blanche is a guy who defended him in one of his cases in New York. I forget which one it was. It was either the...
He did the Florida Mar-a-Lago raid, too. Yeah, no, we know he's a Democrat lawyer. We know he's Trump's lawyer, but what the hell's up with Blanche?
Great question. I thought all along Blanche was, and I heard that he was slowing things down. But then this thing happens where Pam Bondi gets fired, and her last conversation with Trump in a limousine was evidently her pleading, just give me to this summer, just give me to this summer. So maybe it's the case that there were all these things coming along and she just wanted to stick around until they came out so she could take credit before she left. Or it may be the case that they've been there, but she's been sitting on them, not letting them go.
But it does seem like a logjam ended when she left, or maybe Blanche convinced Trump it was her, because I was told by DOJ it was Blanche sitting on top of it all.
I was told by that in multiple places that it was Blanche sitting on top of it. But maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Pam, or maybe it was both of them. But then when he fires Pam and he says, Blanche, you got to do this, Blanche says, yes, sir, and finally stops sitting on it. So all this stuff is burping out. So here's this great example is I think I sent the indictment of a guy January 14th.
Yeah, I got it right here. Indictment? I got it right here. Overhead shot, guys.
Alex Saab. This is a big one. Alex Saab is the bookkeeper for the cartel. And he got it. So Maduro got picked up January 3rd of this year. 11 days later, his bookkeeper gets an indictment. Now, and what's key is look at the top of this. He's not, even though Maduro is up in New York and was talking to folks in New York, the indictment is in the Miami jury. Well, the Miami prosecutor, that's the one who's handling Smartmatic. So this is a positive sign. It's starting to look like this guy who's handling the Smartmatic indictment is getting Dominion, is getting Venezuela, is getting all this other stuff moved under him. So we will finally have that one central place who's responded to this Bolshevik revolution as a package revolution and not sort of the piece by piece way that it's been handled across the federal government so far. So I think it's a very promising thing that it's in Miami, that this guy not only got indicted and extradited, but it's not being handled in New York. It's being handled by the same prosecutor in Miami who's handling the whole Smartmatic bribe the Philippines and stole the 2016.
Sure. So let's do something theoretical here. Just as an American citizen, a smart guy, business owner, you name it, you know, billionaire CEO, the power blocks. How is the Democrat deep state feeling right now? What's Obama thinking right now? I mean, how is their organization? How much has it been degraded? We know Trump didn't cut off many of their tentacles the first administration. He's cut off quite a bit of it now. Replace it with some bad people, some good people, but how? What's the gestalt? I mean, no, it's a dead reckoning, but what is the deep state thinking right now?
The deep state is, it is getting broken up. He didn't do it as aggressively as he should have. Flynn says he should have gone in. You know, Flynn says he should have gone in. There's about 3,000 people he needed to fire the first day, but didn't do that. But they've been degrading the deep state. I think the deep state's in the position of knowing they've got to go for broke. They have to go for broke because there's nowhere they can run. Other countries won't take them, incidentally. Other countries that people wanted to go to, they're not going to get in front of this. So they're going to go for broke, and I'm afraid it's going to start this summer, and we're going to have a summer of love that makes 2020 look like a tea party is what I'm afraid of, because they have to go for broke or else they swing.
And you're talking about asymmetrical warfare, riots. What will Soros and the globalist combine do to derail this?
Well, what we saw happen in 2020, ultimately, the nature of this kind of revolution is to become ungovernable. You make your society ungovernable, and you give the people the idea, well, the way out of this horrible situation we're in is if we have a change of government, that's the way out of it. And so it really is you're making your society as ungovernable as possible. And that's how you kind of trick the population into saying, well, anything's better than this, we'll go for the alternative. So I think that we should be prepared for, they want to make 2026 the summer even crazier than 2020, but they have been degraded. They've been degraded. I know that they're degraded and they're scrambling because the resources that they had before are getting cut off. So many of the resources. We know that Venezuela was funding George Soros, who was funding this craziness. A lot of that stuff is being snipped up. Act Blue, all that's under such scrutiny. It's making it harder and harder for them to do what they want to do.
But you're saying as a cornered rat, what do they do? Just create a race riot, burn everything down?
If they can. They know there's no future for them when this gets it's very easy to expose. When I went in, I told them, I'm surprised it's so long. I'll give you the exact name. You talk to them. You confirm everything I said. This is a coup. I was part of it. It started in 2015, and it needs to be addressed that way. So I think that everything is out. I know that some people in the federal government have the details of everything I've described to you. So I don't know how much has been absorbed and digested. I think it has, and I think that may be why Cash is talking about realizing that this Durham report, the Durham report's nowhere near the full story. They've added this new thing on it about what happened in December of 2016, but what they really need to get to is what happened, everything before that vertical red line I showed you, everything that happened before mid-2016 is where the coup really got started, and it's very easy to verify. I gave them the names. I'll tell you how Durham missed this. Here's something I've never revealed publicly. They told me at first, they said, I don't want to describe too much of our conversation, but I'll say one point. They said, we're not really too much interested in the early stages of the Russia hoax. I mean, we know John Durham looked into everything, and what he wrote was written, and that's kind of sealed and set in stone, and nobody really wants to revisit that. And I said, fellas, you're falling for the cover-up. This is what really happened. There's one person who can verify everything I'm saying in here. That one person has diplomatic status and so doesn't have to be questioned. But he, when I first went in and started going public about this stuff 6 years ago, the CIA inspector general and people from the Durham inspectors went to meet the person who was the one person who could verify everything I was saying. But the guy didn't have to meet with him because he's in the diplomatic community. And he tells me that they sat with him and said, so this is the investigators from the Durham Commission. Do you want to talk to them? You have the legal right not to, but do you want to talk to them? And the guy said, well, do I want to talk to them? No, but I'm willing to talk to him and explain what happened. And that they said, no, you don't want to talk to them. That's fine. We'll put down that you declined to talk to them. So if you look in the Durham Commission report, there's actually a footnote in there about there were allegations of Hillary Clinton taking a bribe and some other stuff, but we weren't able to run these leads down. Well, they weren't able to run them down because when they got to the guy who could confirm the whole thing, they let him off the hook. They said, do you want to talk to us? And he said, well, do I want to talk? No, but I'll tell you everything. And they said, no.
Declines. Oh, that's all important history, and you're always dead on about it and very important. I want to go to break in a few more minutes so you can stay and talk about the midterms coming up in 6 months, what the Democrats are going to do, what you think of Thomas Massie, where you see all this going, because this is a really, really important time to be alive. But just briefly going back to this, I don't see how Kash Patel and people are that stupid, because I knew all this stuff just like you did back at the time we experienced it. Of the spying, of all of it. Obviously, it goes way back in 2015. And before that, I've gotten the document from the White House, you know, that was being targeted by Obama in 2013. So I think Trump's patience with Todd Blanche is going to wear out, just like it did with Bondi, very quickly. Who do we advise Trump, or who would Trump put in as an AG that would take action?
Well, I love Peter Tichtin. And I love Stephanie Lambert. I can tell you that after I went in late January and walked them through finally in great detail everything I've explained to you, about 2 weeks later, it was announced that a bunch of new people from the FBI had broken and are now cooperating and telling everything. I would not be surprised if what happened was after I went in and was finally able to lay it out, painstaking detail, and it all clicked, that when they went and talked to the right people, that's when those people finally came. But 2 weeks, if you look back to February of this year, there were reports of a whole new bunch of people from the FBI coming forward with the truth about the true origins of the Russia hoax. I think that's when my story finally got confirmed, was February of this year. And it may have been driven by those conversations.
Absolutely. You were there on record. It all happened. We got new statements by Trump on Iran, Cuba, and more. We'll get Patrick Byrne's take on that straight ahead, and then a bunch of other news I haven't hit yet. Stay with us and follow me on the next Roll Off Shows and on Rumble at rumble.com/Yelcho Show Live. We have to get